God's grace, his mercy, his peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, welcome on this first Sunday in Advent. Do you know that the word Advent comes from two Latin words, ad and venios? It means to come. And it's a time when we certainly look forward to rejoicing and praising God for the coming of Jesus into the world at Christmas. But it's also a time to remember that Jesus is going to come again. And that, too, is part of Advent. And it's part of getting ready to welcome Jesus, not under our trees, but once more renewed into our hearts and our souls, into our lives. But then we come across today's lesson from Luke's Gospel. And it's a little bit unsettling. In fact, for many people, it's frightening. Because Jesus there is describing the signs leading up to the end of the world, to Judgment Day. He says there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, worried and apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the very heavenly bodies will be shaken. Now that's pretty vivid. Signs in the moon and stars. You know, people are looking, if you go to any bookstore, well, there's only Barnes & Noble now, but if you look online too, there's all sorts of books written about the end of the world. And a lot of scary stuff is written in those. And people do get frightened of it. But that's not what God intends. But sometimes it's kind of like the pastor was in the pulpit, and he was describing what the final days would look like, and he was doing it with great drama. Thunder will boom, he roared. Lightning will strike. Rivers will overflow. Climate will change. The sky will be in flames. There will be mammoth storms and floods and earthquakes. Well, this one young lady sitting next to her mom in church turned and looked at her. Will they let us out of school that day? Some people don't take it seriously. The Bible says in the New Testament that some people say because Jesus has never come, he won't be coming. That everything is going to continue as it has and will. Well, that's not true according to Jesus. There's a day coming. When? We don't know. I know a lot of people try and say, well, it's coming here, it's coming then. There was a book written back, when I was doing a sermon way back in the 90s on this, I was doing some research and I found a book called 88 Ways the World Will End, or 88 Reasons the World Will End in 1988. I thought, that's great. And I went down to my local bookstore and I said, do you have a copy of that? They said, we do, but there's a revised 1989 version too. People don't know when the world will end. Now, a lot of people say, well, we've seen more wars and rumors of wars and things are changing in the climate. That's just the sign that it's coming. It's like the parable Jesus tells of the fig tree. When you see it start to bloom, you know summer is on the way. You don't know when. You don't know when that first day will have 100 degrees will hit here in Arizona, but you know it will. So it is with Jesus returning. We don't know when. Everything's ready. But we don't know when. But as I'm going to point out in a couple minutes, even though Jesus may not return for the world in our lifetime, he will return for us. Advent is a time to get ready. It's a time, as I said, to get ready to welcome Christ into our hearts once more. To prepare ourselves for the King of Kings and for that day, should it come. It's a time of joyous anticipation. That's what Christmas is all about. But it's also a time of very serious reflection on what the Lord says. And Jesus is telling his disciples here, and he's telling us that the future for every one of us and for the whole world is filled with uncertainties. And we can say amen to that without any doubt. We have our uncertainties in this world. We've seen them and we will see them. I mean, think about what we deal with. Well, Social Security ran out of money, and that affects many of us. Some say it already has. Now, that may seem like a trivial concern compared to the end of the world, but for some people, it's vital. Will we face persecution as Christians? In some ways, we already do, but will it get worse? Will it be like up in Canada, where if you preach that something such as homosexuality is sin, you can be thrown in jail? Will there be another terrorist attack? And if so, where and how bad? And what about the pandemic? It's going on from mutation to mutation, Delta to Omicron. What's next? I don't know. Will the stock market continue to take a downward tumble? And many of you depend on that. Will recession hit? Certainly inflation is getting up there. And knowing the world as it is, broken by sin, it's not a question of if, really, but when. And even if society, even if the world out there is stable to a certain extent, not that it ever has been, but let's say that happens. What about on a personal level? What is your next doctor's report going to say? Does a tragic automobile accident lay waiting for someone you love or for you? I don't mean to alarm you, but life is absolutely unpredictable. We can no more predict what's going to happen tomorrow in our lives than we can predict when Jesus will return. It was the same in the time of the disciples, and it's not any different now. The future is absolutely filled with uncertainty. But having said that, there's no reason to be pessimistic or to get worried. Because there's one thing that goes all around this, covers it, and goes all through it, and it is this: that God is with us. That when these things start to happen, Jesus says, lift up your head, stand tall, and realize that your salvation, the realization of what you believe, is coming closer and is getting nearer. You see, whether it's good times or bad in the world or in our lives, we have this promise of our Lord that he never forgets us and never forsakes us. Jesus warned his disciples here that they would be persecuted, and they were. But right before this, he made a very interesting promise to them. He said, they will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind, he said, not to worry ahead of time how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you the very words and wisdom so that none of your adversaries can resist or contradict. See what he's saying there? That promise? He will be with them. He will not abandon them to whatever may happen, to an uncertain fate. We don't have an uncertain fate. The world is uncertain. Our lives are uncertain. But we have a certainty that Jesus is real, and he is there for us. Now all of us face adversaries of some kind or another, some spiritual, some physical. All of us will have dark nights of the soul sooner or later. We will have fears and we will have doubts. We're sinners. It's going to affect us. But what Jesus reminds us here, that is, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, by God's grace, he's with us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas too, Emmanuel, God with us. We are not alone. No matter what the future brings, and God's grace is sufficient for us regardless of how difficult life may be. That's an absolute fact. And that's why it's so important that we keep our eyes of our heart and our soul, our lives fixed on Jesus, and on the truth that he is with us. See, that's part of what it means to be prepared. We talk a lot about that, being prepared. But we never really get down to the nitty-gritty sometimes. What does it mean to be prepared? You know, it's kind of like I love good news, bad news stories. I don't know, some are corny, but I like the one about the gallery owner that called up the artist who had all his paintings there. He said, "I've got some good news and bad news for you." Artie says, "What's the good news?" He said, "This person came in and asked about your paintings, and then they asked if they would be worth more after you were dead than they are now, and I assured them they would be, and they bought them all." The artist said, "Great." He said, "What's the bad news?" He said, "Well, it was your doctor that was asking." All right, it's corny. But here's the thing that goes with that. What if your doctor says that to you? How do you prepare for that? And how do you prepare afterwards? What if you're told that you have a terminal disease? How would you prepare? What would you do? Think about that for a second. What would you do? Would you get right with your family and your friends? I'd hope. Would you set all your affairs in order? I imagine you would. Would you get right with the Lord? That would certainly be the time for it. And how would you do that? Prayer, definitely prayer. And worship. Here's where the Lord's to be found. And what about your fellow Christians, seeking strength from them? Wouldn't you do all that if you had a terminal disease? Well, guess what? You do, and so do I. It's called sin. Remember what the Bible says? The wages of sin is death. We all have a terminal disease. That's why we shouldn't be worried about when the Lord is going to return in the sense of coming back for judgment day. But we should be prepared in our hearts and our souls for when he returns for us. And that's how you do it. You pray. You worship. You gather with your fellow Christians. You come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord's table. You set your affairs in order. You get right with your family and your friends. And in that way, too, through repentance and all that goes with it, and through the forgiveness and grace of God, you get right with the Lord through Jesus. That's what we should be doing right now. Not in anticipation of the Lord returning and putting it off because he hasn't come back yet, but realizing he could come back for us. So that's why we focus on all the promises of God and all the words of the Lord in Scripture. And it also means that we live our life doing the things the Lord has given us responsibility to take care of. Now, the Thessalonians, the ones Paul wrote to this morning, they had this one problem. They were so worried about when Jesus was going to return that some of them sold their houses, quit their jobs, and went out and sat on a hill waiting for the Lord to come back. And Paul said to them, he said, get back to doing what the Lord gave you to do. He said, you let the Lord worry about that. He also said, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. In other words, take care of your responsibilities. The Lord's put you here for a purpose and a reason. The Lord has put you here now because that's where he wants you to be. So live your life in anticipation of the Lord returning, but live with the full joy and with the absolute assurance that God's with you. He'll take care of it. In the meantime, you take care of all the things he's given you to do. That's what it means to be prepared, to be ready, to not be caught unawares, as the Bible says. And through it all, through all the uncertainty of life, keep your eyes, the eyes of your soul, the eyes of your faith, fixed on Jesus' promises. In any time of distress, He's there. He's with us. Life is unpredictable, but God isn't. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's someone who never forgets us, never leaves us, and always provides for us. There's one more thing here with that. The absolute promise of Jesus that he says a little bit earlier in this chapter, not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you gain life. Think about that. Jesus says, not a hair of our heads will perish. Now, he doesn't mean our physical bodies. He doesn't mean we won't get sick. He doesn't mean things won't happen to us that are not pleasant from an earthly standpoint. But what he does mean is that even though we're not exempt from any catastrophe that happens in this world, because remember what the Bible says too, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It'll happen to us. Being Christian doesn't exempt us from that or make us somehow better than everybody else in that regard. Not at all. But what he does mean is that we will not be affected eternally by anything that happens to us in this world. Nothing can be taken from us that is really important to us and for us. Not forever. We may suffer loss, you and me. We may suffer grievous loss. But all earthly loss is temporary. And God's power and God's love and God's mercy, that's greater than any power that could crush us, including the devil himself. I like this story I read quite a while back. A pastor by the name of John Wilson was writing about his father-in-law. He said his father-in-law was a lifelong Sunday school teacher. That was his ministry. But his father found his faith troubled in his later years. He had a nerve disease, a degenerative nerve disease, confined him to bed or to a wheelchair. And it kept him from all the activities which he had loved, which he couldn't do anymore. In the meantime, his daughter, who was 39, was battling a severe form of diabetes. Financial pressures had mounted. And then that Christmas, when it seemed to be a very severe crisis in his life, his father-in-law composed a Christmas letter, and he mailed it to all the members of his family. He talked about the things he had taught as a Sunday school teacher and what he believed and what he was uneasy about. And then he talked about what he could look to with certainty. And he said these three things. They were his certainty of life. First, life is difficult. Second, God is merciful. And third, heaven is certain. He said he could count on those things. Life is difficult. God is merciful. Heaven is certain. A week after he sent this letter out to his family, his daughter died from complications from diabetes. And as his family gathered around him at this difficult time right at Christmas, he said he clung to those truths ever more fiercely. Yes, he's saying, life does get tough. But ultimately, in Jesus' hands, not a hair of our heads will perish. We're in God's very strong hands, and he won't let us fall. I'll close with this. Some of you may remember Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. I always like to read about him and read it, what he wrote and that. Well, he told one time that he was on a cruise ship in the Atlantic, and they encountered a hurricane. They skirted the edges of it, but still the seas were incredibly rough. The weather was terrible. And even though the captain managed to sail around the worst danger, people were still frightened. They didn't know what was going to happen. Well, Dr. Peale had dinner with the captain one evening when the seas were still very rough, and he asked the captain about this. And the captain said, well, he said he lived by a very simple philosophy, that if the sea was smooth, it would get rough. But if it was rough, it would then get later smooth. And then he added something which Dr. Peel said he remembered and stuck with him. The captain said, but with a good ship and a good captain, you can always ride out the worst storm. Boy, how that applies to us. Our ship is our faith in Christ. Our captain is our Lord Jesus. And with a good ship and a good captain, you can always ride it out. Life is unpredictable, but God is with us, and not a hair of our head will perish. Or in the words of John Wilson's father-in-law, life is difficult, God is merciful, heaven is certain. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds by faith to eternal life. Amen.